Welcome to the Living in Lithuania podcast. Join me, Austė, in conversation with internationals who have found themselves living here in Lithuania. To keep the conversation going, let's connect on the Living in Lithuania Facebook or Instagram pages, where you can also find out about the latest episodes and more. Kate, welcome to the podcast. So happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here too.
Yeah, it's really great to see you. We met actually, what was it, like 3 years ago?
I think so.
Or so in Klaipėda, and now meeting back again in Vilnius.
So. So it was my hometown back in the days, and we're meeting now in your hometown.
Yeah, it's really great, and really happy you're here, really happy you're safe, and doing some really amazing work. Maybe we can start, you can just share a little bit about yourself. And then we can get into all the cool things you're doing here in Vilnius these days.
I am Kate. I'm from Ukraine. I left to come here to Vilnius, Lithuania, to be safer from war that is happening right now in Ukraine. At some point, because there were more and more missiles and bombs falling on the houses in the city, actually. I really wanted to stay in Ukraine, and I wanted to be helpful there. But at some point, I understood that, emotionally, I cannot sustain myself anymore, and I will be more useful if I go to some safer location. And if I do something work related, so the plan was to leave Kyiv, where I was, where I live and work, to go to my hometown, pick up my grandparents, my mom and my brother, and leave to a safer location to the west, and then decide what to do next. Mm-hmm. But eventually, as it turned out, the evacuation trains, that they don't stop at stops. So when I got on the train, it just went all the way to Lviv without stopping. Mm-hmm. And my grandparents, they changed their mind eventually, and mm-hmm. I keep asking them and telling them to leave somewhere further, but they don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I left to Lviv at first, then they crossed the border, then I went through Poland, then I got to Vilnius. Mm-hmm. The whole trip took me about 4 days, because it's extremely long and hard. I'm not going to bore you with all the details how it was happening, but it takes a long time, because there were a lot of people who wanted to cross the border to be safer, a lot of women with children, a lot of young girls and elderly people trying to feel themselves safer. And after I came here, I at first, I was really, really worried about how everything is going to be. I didn't know much what will eventually happen, but I'm quite an active person, so I read everything before I was coming here, where I'm supposed to go, where I'm supposed to register, what I'm supposed to do. And I almost instantaneously found a job. I posted an ad on my Facebook about the fact that I'm looking for something as a translator or teacher or something related to writing texts or doing research or things like that. And one of the persons who was actually one of my students back in the days when I was studying here in Klaipėda and then teaching, not teaching, but working in Lithuania in Klaipėda, he said that the TV3 is looking to hire for some interpreters to translate the news. Mm-hmm. So I wrote them, and I had a response to come in 1 hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
So I went right away, and and since then I'm translating on the channel. It's a 24/7 TV marathon, and we have shifts of starting from 1 hour up to whatever amount. Mm-hmm. I sometimes take 4 or 6 hours of interpretation, but with this, I feel that I'm doing something useful. So I am performing some activities, some tasks, but at the same time, I'm also translating the news into English, and so more people are able to hear the facts and to know more about the war and understand what is the reality, how it is, and what they need to know about this, and also somehow make the governments also understand and change the situation, because apparently we on our own, we can't do that. So that is why it's important to be informed, to inform others, and to do things together, especially understanding the fact that Ukraine is protecting other countries from possible invasion by Russia as well, because we have seen this in the past, and hopefully we will never see this in the future. So, yeah, that's also partially why I'm here, so that I can be useful in some international arena somehow, spread the word. I post lots of things on my social networks. I write articles about my experiences that I have been going through as I was coming here, so that people read and understand how it works, what they need to do, where they need to go. I also am volunteering with one of the centers. They mostly distribute clothes and things that you need for the at the beginning, like maybe like some sheets or some I don't know, towels, whatever is necessary at a new place where you come. So people from Ukraine, they can come, they can pick up stuff if they want. Others can bring their things, and so we were kind of trying to clear out the space and make it more functional, so that we find a good use for this space. Additionally, I also try to restart, let's say, one of the projects that I have been involved when I was in Ukraine. So I was a project manager at one of the animation studios, and we had to interrupt our activities as the war started. But now, as our government is calling us to once again restart all of the business activities, all of the work, so that the economy also, we help the Ukrainian economy to be back on track. So I have also started to come back to my activities as a project manager and communicating with international partners. And also we, one of the projects that we are doing right now, as like it's part of our organization, but it's a volunteering project. I manage the creation of some animated short cartoons about the stories of the people, of individuals whom I personally actually know. And they're just sharing their stories. How did their lives changed because of the war? We're using hashtag this should not be happening. And we are also bringing more attention and more awareness about the war, about the lives of the people. And in that way, also asking to bring some funds for our project as we purchase different items necessary for our local military defense unit, and also for the armed forces of Ukraine. So like two sides of the project. Raising awareness and also getting funds to purchase these items. So lots of things.
Yeah, it's great. It's really amazing to hear you talk about all the wonderful things you're doing. And really, there are so many ways people can, you know, help, take part, and just use the skills, like you said, that they have. You know, it's not just one way. Like, we can't all go and fight, you know, but there are ways we can help, there are ways we can get involved. And you're a wonderful example of all the different ways to do that. So yeah, it's really inspirational to hear what you're doing and your story. And yeah, just don't burn out doing all the things.
I have a lot of support from a local community here in Lithuania, from my friends, from you, from everywhere, literally. Like, I was so impressed when I came here, starting the first day with starting from just seeing our flag and all kinds of different symbols supporting Ukraine here everywhere. It's already a lot, because, like, as a person who has escaped from a location where in some territories that are occupied by Russians right now, apparently it's recognized as a symbol that is not allowed, and you can literally, like, be killed for that if you go to a pro-Ukrainian meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You can be killed or kidnapped, or, like, something bad can happen to you. So really terrible things might happen. But coming here and seeing how another country is supporting Ukraine and Ukrainians and opening their homes, inviting literally, like, unknown individuals into their homes because they understand that this is a very hard situation. And some people really, they have been... one lady on the train, she was just wearing like a bath robe with her slippers. So, like, because she heard the air raid siren, she had to go to the basement.
Yeah.
Then the bomb came, destroyed the house, and she had to just run away to the train station. So lots of stories like this.
Mm-hmm.
And but seeing how Lithuania is the first country to say no to Russian gas, and also is with us on every single step of introducing all of these sanctions against Russia. And my hosts are also super supportive, both of the people with whom I live now. They're like, have you heard this piece of news about Ukraine? Have you heard this piece of news about Ukraine?
You're like, I'm translating the news. I know everything.
But people here are very, very involved. They know, they understand the situation. And I have been to multiple meetings that were either gathering the funds for Ukraine or for humanitarian aid for Ukraine, or just to raise awareness, or concerts. A lot of things here are to support somehow individuals. Either like some, I don't know, lunch that you can come, and if you don't have any funds, you can come and
mm-hmm.
eat, or you can participate in some event, or, I don't know, watch a movie or something like this. So, like, basic things that can, once again, help you feel normal, if you can say that, but, like, you don't understand that you are safe and you are allowed to,
mm-hmm.
to do that. And so Lithuanian community is really, really doing everything possible and impossible, I feel like, to really support us here. And I'm really, like, super thankful to Lithuania, Lithuanian individuals in particular, and my friends who were here and are here, and I think will be here for us Ukrainians. So, like, this, yeah, my... expressing my gratitude from the depths of my heart.
Yeah, no, I was super proud of how Lithuania was handling the situation from the very beginning. So it's, I mean, yeah, we're very close. We share a lot of the history, and I think we feel it more than a lot of other countries
mm-hmm.
who are far, further away, do not have this same experience. So it's nice to see that, you know, we are taking action, as much as we can. Yeah, so actually, maybe there are ways also you could mention how how Ukrainians who have come to Lithuania now also could get involved to help in the various ways?
Sure. So the organization, the two organizations that I know about, they're Lithuanian organizations, but I know that volunteers are always welcome. It's Stiprus Kartu, Stronger Together, if I'm not mistaken. Since they are basically one of the ones that are hosting the temporarily relocated individuals in their institutions, so it's a place where people can come and stay, but also there you can come and register as a person who have arrived, find yourself a home. They assist in doing that, find work and other things. And I have seen how many people are there, and I definitely know that they always need volunteers who can speak Ukrainian, Russian, English, other languages, just in case, because many people are coming right now from Ukrainian side, from escaping from war. And there's always someone needed to just explain what is happening, because there are a lot of people, a lot of different, groups of individuals everywhere. Where do I go first? Where do I go next? What do I do? So most likely that there's a lot of assistance needed there. Another one is Blue and Yellow. Blue and Yellow. They are also a volunteering organization. I'm not 100% sure whether Ukrainians can somehow participate, but I do know that they also have not only crowdfunding for the military primarily, but also they have some events that they are having, that they are creating, and that people can somehow participate there. There are multiple smaller groupings, let's say, like the one that I am helping with. It's located in the Polish house. Nowogrodówka, 76, and it's another location. So we collect their different items, first clothing items, for example, or as I mentioned, sheets, towels, maybe dish, whatever people have, they can share there, and Ukrainians can come and pick it up. So there's always a lack of staff, because some people work, some people get sick, and the things after the day of work, it gets messy, so a reorganization is needed. And I'm assuming as it grows bigger, with the time we will also maybe have some events and maybe some other things, maybe even start distributing food as well and things like that. So you can go there and ask for sure. There are multiple events by different organizations. Just recently, I have been participating in one of the events. They were just shooting a video. We were singing Червона Калина, and this video was supposed to be placed on YouTube and other platforms to raise awareness, to support Ukraine, and also to gather funds. So there are lots of different kinds of fundraisers that people can do. Also in Facebook groups, for example, I always see some children or individuals who are making some art and they're selling it and they're sending the money to support Ukraine. So if you have some talents, if you are a creative individual, or if you are not creative individual but you want to somehow make use of your skills, you can always provide something that you can do, whether it's, I don't know, cutting hair or drawing a picture or, I don't know, giving hugs and then collecting funds and sending it to either of the organizations of your preference. Funds are also always necessary, and but choose wisely to the which organizations you want to send. Most likely, they will definitely go to the ones who mostly require. If it's a smaller organization and you specifically know what they are doing, I think I ran out of options, but I'm sure that there's so much more that people can do.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's so many things happening. I mean, I constantly see it, like on Facebook and just just everywhere. Just people. Like I know someone who's a dancer and they did a performance. You know, they collected the funds for Ukraine. Different social enterprises are having different campaigns, also collecting just parts of whatever they sell. 10%, you know, goes. So that's any way.
Even helping with the information. Mm-hmm. If, for example, you are an organization that requires workers, or if you are an organization that seeks either employers or employees, you can connect people. Yeah. If you have been through some specific experience, you can create a Telegram channel, a Facebook page, whatever, and post about this. I see lots of things where people cross reference each other, saying that, oh, I have seen in this location that this is happening right now, and if someone needs, they can go and do it or go and take it. So really, like, even information is already a whole lot, but also like the basic thing is just if you see someone who is sad or if you see that someone is going through something hard, like through hard time, just sitting with a person and speaking to them is already more than enough. Like it's so much just to have human contact, because I know personally a lot of women, I've been participating in one event, this women's therapeutic circle. And what I heard from women is that I came here by myself. I don't have any friends here. I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So just speaking to another woman, if she's from Ukraine, if she has children as well, and just sitting with her and speaking is like more than enough.
Yeah.
So many ways.
Yeah, emotional support and just the basic things of meeting people, making friends.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a new place. You know, you don't know anyone. Of course, that's you need that emotional support from the people around you. And you were telling me as well about how you're thinking of doing some kind of yoga and other kind of activities.
Yeah. So it's something that entered my mind just recently, because people are feeling homesick and they're feeling lonely. And also knowing just from my workplace right now, where I collaborate with other Ukrainians, it is so important for people to hear Ukrainian right now and just to talk to each other and do something together. So I was thinking that just taking myself as an example, but it can be anyone with any skill set, getting together and doing something that we can do together. So, for example, I love yoga and I know the basics of it. Mm-hmm. I can teach basic yoga to other Ukrainian women, just getting together in some location. Or lots of things are, how can we say that? It can be therapeutic if you do it with your body, whether it's dancing, like contemporary dancing or contact improvisation. Or doing art, so just painting, drawing, doing things all together in one group can be very, very therapeutic and can be very useful. And even there, in conversations, you can find the information that you need, or the support that you need, or some ideas can come to you, and you can see, oh, I'm actually good at this. Maybe I will go and look for work with this skill, or maybe I can also do this by myself. And then here you go, you have another activity that you can be doing, you can be useful, you can maybe even earn money, and you can also feel accomplished, satisfied. So
that's wonderful. sounds great that summer's coming, like Ukrainian yoga in the park, I think is an option.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah. So I'm sure there will be things like this.
And, will you be coming to a Ukrainian yoga in the park?
If you translate to English, then I'll be there. I'll be there.
I will be gesturing a lot.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, sure. Count me in. I'll invite people.
Cool,
We can for sure do that. Wonderful. So, coming out of all of this, I want to just also ask about your experience in Vilnius so far, mm-hmm. because you were living in Klaipėda before, and I'm sure it's different here in some ways. So maybe you can share a little bit how you've been finding the place, just doing, casual activities as well.
I have been quite busy since I came to Vilnius, but I did have a chance to have several tours mm-hmm. with the assistance of my lovely friends and my hosts too. I really enjoy the architecture of the old town and just the fact that it has cobblestone in the city center, which I just love. It reminds me somehow of Lviv, just because it also has cobblestone, and in some parts it also have some similarities in terms of the architecture. But Vilnius city center is amazing, and also I love so much going back from my workplace mm-hmm. to home using trolley bus number 17 because in the evening when I go back, it goes by the river for quite a long distance, mm-hmm. and as you go by the river Neris, the buildings, they light up mm-hmm. in different colors, and it's so beautiful. Every time I take my phone out wanting to take a picture, but then I put it back because I just want to observe, just to be in the moment, because it's so wonderful. I don't even turn music on mm-hmm. or don't scroll through the news once again, but I'm just looking, and it is so beautiful. I really also like the location not far from the building where I live right now, Tauro Kalnas. Uh-huh. I really like the sunsets from that location, and the fact that you can see all of the building, all of the city in front of you, like on the palm of your hand. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy seeing all the red roofs in the distance. It's definitely different from Klaipėda in the way that there are so much more people here, and the city is really like an anthill and it's alive. You can mm-hmm. see all those people that are rushing to do their own business, and everyone is so different. Mm-hmm. While Klaipėda is very calm city by the sea, and it's a location where I would maybe go someday and live my end of life because it's calm and but here it's I would say that it's the city of the young, mm-hmm. Where everything is happening, lots of different kinds of events, lots of organizations. The government is here, so you can feel that you are like participating in even some decision making by going to the meetings, by participating in the events, by saying what you want to say. So it kind of also makes you feel important in a sense, in terms of the life of the city and in terms of the life in the country as well. Yeah, the parks are very beautiful. I haven't been to all of them yet, but I kind of seen some of them. Hopefully I will have a chance to explore more different buildings outside and inside, and also somehow get involved with some organizations as well, as I would really love to do that as an interpreter.
Mm-hmm. Actually, we have this event. I'm not sure if it happens now in spring or autumn, mm-hmm. But it's called Open House Vilnius, mm-hmm. and then they open up different buildings that are normally not open to the public, and there are tours, so you can just go and learn more about, you know, the culture, the history. And,
this is really cool.
And, yeah, so see things that are not always open, or parts that aren't. For example, you can go to like the National Theater and go behind stage, mm-hmm. and, you know, like see all of those parts, and learn more about the history. So I'm not sure if it's in autumn or spring, because I think it also, because of COVID, it was switching around mm-hmm. when it was happening. But yeah, and also summer is coming, so the parks are going to be even more beautiful now, I think, yeah.
Also, one of the items, because there are many of them, that I'm planning to do whenever I will have a little bit more free time. The museums are open for Ukrainians to visit for free right now.
Okay.
And I would really, really love to go and see primarily Mo Museums,
yeah.
which is the Contemporary Art Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to go and see what they have there and just see other museums. Mm-hmm. I have been told many, many good things about, interestingly enough, about jail
oh, yeah.
and how it has been changed in the recent past and
yeah.
how it has been renovated. But I also been told to wait maybe a little bit to become a little bit more emotionally stable before
yeah.
I go do the night tour.
Yeah, the night tour is pretty intense. I've done the night tour.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, they tell you all of the horrible things that happened in the prison. And when you realize that it's only been closed for like 3 years now, it's kind of okay. pretty intense. So yeah, maybe... No, but the day tour, there's a day tour, and
mm-hmm.
that's more about the history of
mm-hmm.
the building and more of the kind of day-to-day, calmer
mm-hmm.
things. And yeah, they have, in the summer, there's lots of concerts happening there now because
mm-hmm.
it has this courtyard that's a big space,
mm-hmm.
and some really cool bands are coming. My office was actually right next to it, so I could hear, you know, the rehearsals,
mm-hmm.
basically, that were happening outside. And... yeah, they're using the space now. They're turning it into kind of studios for artists.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bar there. The dance, I used to go to these dance classes for Lindy Hop, and now the dance studio that does the classes is there.
Mm.
And they do their dance socials there. It's a bit crazy to think about, like, oh, this place was a prison, and now there's a bar, there's dancing, there's, you know, music outside. It's completely being transformed.
But isn't it also, like, in a sense, such a good way to change this, like, that you can take something that comes out of suffering and pain and
yeah.
transform it into something useful and beautiful and good, and you can create more beautiful things just
yeah.
because of that. So
yeah, exactly. And it's a beautiful building.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the space, it's quite amazing. It's the very center of the city. So, I mean, it's, of course, what better way to use it than to provide a cultural and creative space
mm-hmm.
for people to enjoy and yeah, change the use of it to something very positive these days.
Agree.
So I also want to ask you a little bit about more about like Klaipėda and your time studying there.
No.
What was the experience like?
It was a lovely experience. I absolutely fell in love with Lithuania when I came to Klaipėda.
Mm-hmm.
I come from Zhytomyr, which is also not a big city. Well,
mm-hmm.
According to the Ukrainian standards, because we have quite large cities.
Yeah.
Zhytomyr is not super big, but in a sense, it's on the smaller side. And
mm-hmm.
Klaipėda was also a city that I was kind of used to.
Yeah.
So I didn't get lost.
Uh-huh.
In it, or didn't get scared of it as a young girl who was coming to live in a foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
When I was back then, I was 16 years old, and I didn't know much about living on my own, or I don't know, cooking myself food,
yeah.
Or I don't know, doing things for myself, or doing some. Like legal things,
mm-hmm.
legally related things.
Yeah.
Because of my university where I studied LCC International University, that takes such a good care of the students, especially who come from international, like that are part of the international community. They do so many different beautiful things to integrate students from all over the world and to make them understand how everyone can live together in one community and how they are really cared for, how they are supported, how they are heard, how they are welcomed there in this community. I really felt at home. I felt that they were empowering me at every single step of my way. Mm-hmm. And like coming from Ukraine back then, for me it was like, oh, I am just a person from this city. I can't do a lot of things. I am not certain of myself. But in the university, I felt important. I felt heard, and I felt that I really can do things to change things for better, to mm-hmm. support other individuals, to serve other individuals somehow. And that is why I did not only study there for 4 years, but actually I was coming back every single summer mm-hmm. to volunteer at the summer camps mm-hmm. and also later in Summer Language Institute, because I love teaching as well. I love teaching English. I love explaining things to other individuals. Mm-hmm. And because I'm quite an active person, I like just being there for other individuals mm-hmm. and just telling them that whatever they have imagined in their heads, they can do it. It's mm-hmm. possible. You need only to believe in yourself. Also, say things out loud to others about yourself, about your dreams, about your desires. And you will find assistance. You will find support that you need. You will find the resources. You will do these things just because you want them, and there is no doubt in that. And this is really super cool to be living in a community that is super supportive. And after that, I also worked there for a year yeah. as a resident director. Basically, a resident director is a person who lives on campus mm-hmm. and supports the students in integrating them into the community, mm-hmm. but also is in charge of some disciplinary acts if mm-hmm. such happen mm-hmm. on campus. But that's also a lovely part of my job that I had, because you see how the individuals grow together through even through disciplinary acts mm-hmm. sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, being there for the students and being there to assist them and to help them, sometimes educate them, yeah. but also primarily to support and tell them that they are important. So this was my experience mm-hmm. with LCC International University in Klaipėda, mm-hmm. Specifically at the university. But in terms of the city, it's also like a super great location. It's a city that is on the seaside. Mm-hmm. And I love so much the smell of the pine trees together with the smell of sea salt, mm-hmm. especially during the summer after the rain. Mm-hmm. And it is so, so amazing. Mm-hmm. Going to the Koronian Spit using a ferry or taking or renting a bike and going from Klaipėda to Palanga, which is just 16 kilometers away, mm-hmm. driving there and then driving back, or visiting Olando Kepure, which is a very beautiful scenery location mm-hmm. with a wonderful sight of the sea. So yeah, very beautiful locations. yeah. And just in general, commenting on Lithuania in total, it's a very, very beautiful location and hospitable people and wonderful nature and delicious food as well, of course. And yeah, just really in love with the country. So.
Awesome. share more. I usually end the podcast, well, not usually, every time, with this question. Is to describe living in Lithuania in three words.
So the two first words that I'm going to choose will describe the character of Lithuania, according to my personal opinion, is sea and linen.
Okay.
So sea is, first of all, because you have Baltic Sea. And then it also shows this changeability somehow of the weather, of the character, of the mood, and generally speaking, how you can see this change, this transition, and the beauty of possibility of everything. So the sea can be calm, but it can be stormy at the same time. And so all of it is possible, all of it is beautiful and natural. So that would be for the character. But at the same time, linen, because it's also one of the plants that grows here, and the products are quite popular. Lithuanian linen is quite popular all over the world, and also for me it shows this tenderness. So you see the character where the sea can be stormy, but at the same time it has this soft inside, and it's also about the warmth and the nice soft kind where you feel safe and you feel welcomed. And the last word is home, just because it became back at my during my student years, back in, what was it, 2007? It became my second home, and again and again I keep coming back here, and I feel welcomed, and I feel at home, and I feel safe. So these three words, they would describe Lithuania for me. We really found a friend in the face of Lithuania at this difficult time, and I feel that not only I can feel home, but it's a home for a lot of other Ukrainian people.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it, that actually I've mentioned you, I think, multiple times on this podcast already. It was great to have you here today. But yeah, because I've had Marta, who was the creator of LT Buddies, on back in the day already, like a year ago, and then some other people from Klaipeda, and you kept coming up, and it's really nice to have you on yourself for you to share your story and how you've found Lithuania. So thank you so much for spending the time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. For more conversations like this one, subscribe to the podcast or let's connect on the Living in Lithuania Facebook or Instagram pages. If you enjoyed listening, please consider supporting the podcast on Contribee. All supporters are added to a private community and invited to join meetups and events. If you or anyone you know would like to be on the podcast, feel free to get in touch. Until next time.